Every time we get close to the Christmas season, I always imagine how excited God must have been to introduce us to His Son. How excited He must have been to reveal the full essence of Himself in the flesh in Jesus Christ. And as we are beginning this series of sermons on what we normally hear called the model prayer, I think that when Jesus was approached with the request, "Lord, teach us to pray," how excited Jesus must have been to introduce to them God, His Father, and God as their Father, to whom they could pray and find such blessing. I want to look at a passage in the book of Galatians, a couple of verses there to begin with, if you would with me. I like the way it's put here. So many places in the Bible that talk about what God has done for us in His Son. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. The scripture says, "But when the fullness of time came," in other words, God is working out His plan. It is a perfect plan. It's happening as He has designed it. God did not send Jesus during the time of the book of Genesis or Exodus. Why not? God knows better than we do. He did much of what we call progressive revelation throughout the Old Testament. But in Jesus Christ, we find the full revelation of God in His Son. "So in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." Every last one of us who call ourselves Christians, who call ourselves sons and daughters of God, we have been adopted. What a joy in the grace of God. And in verses 6 and 7 it says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts." Now there's so many things that I would like to say doctrinally this morning. A lot of folks hear that word and they think, what? I would like to say some things that simply help us understand God. And when you talk about the Holy Spirit, some folks get way off on so many different tangents that it's confusing. But when somebody asks me, "Lord, when we're talking about the Lord and we're talking about Jesus Christ and then we get to talking about the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit?" Well, the Holy Spirit, in simple yet biblical terms, the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ in spirit form. We know He's not here in bodily form. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ in spirit form. God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. What a blessing! So what God had in mind in introducing His Son to us, we find in Jesus Christ, and then Jesus pointing that back to the Father as He cries out through His Spirit in our hearts, "Abba, Father," and we are children of God. What a source of help, what a source of answers, what a source of direction in a confusing world. We are sons and daughters of the Almighty God, whom we call Father. Isn't that amazing? How gracious He is to us. So basically, as we are continuing this series just started on the model prayer, I don't want to go too fast today. Today I want to make sure that we're focused in the right way before we get on God's prayer list for us. We'll mention that again in a moment. But I want to say this. We looked at last week, you have a Heavenly Father. Basically what I want to say today is talk to Him. Are you talking with him? Listen, in picking up a couple of verses in the introduction of Matthew 6 before we get to the model prayer, so I want you to know that as Jesus is answering the request, teach us to pray, when Jesus said what he said in verse 5, Matthew chapter 6, he said, when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites. When he said this, they like to be out there where everybody can see them, and that is their motive in order to be seen by men. He said they have their reward in full, and we talked about that last week. Basically, what that is saying is that, you know, and you can do this. If you want somebody to think something marvelous about you, well, get out in public and say a nice flowery prayer for that purpose, and some folks will like it. But Jesus said, and that's your reward. That is your whole reward. Don't expect an answer from God. Okay, so when Jesus said that, he was not just scolding the religious leaders who did it that way, but he was saying to the disciples, don't be that way, not just because it's the wrong motive, but if you do that, you will miss the answer that God wants to give you. You will miss the blessing of God's response, so don't do that. So he said in verse 6, when you pray, go into your inner room or go into your closet. He's saying you need to go there. Your motive is not to be seen by anybody else. And when you have shut your door, and here's the key part of this verse in the teaching. Don't be like somebody else so that you're really doing something out there for them to see you. Get in your closet and talk to your Father. Okay? That's what the purpose of the prayer is. He is in secret. Now, that doesn't mean nobody else can know anything about it and that kind of thing. What it means is he's in heaven. He is not somebody you're going to see with your physical eyes. You are looking with the eyes of your heart. But it, notice it says, but he will repay you. Not that you're earning it, not in that kind of sense, but he's going to answer. So pray to your Heavenly Father. Now we know this. We know that you can pray in your closet. You can pray in a crowd. Well, if you're in a cloud, good. You can pray while you're in church around other people. You can pray while you're driving to work, going to school, when you're coming home. We know we can pray anywhere. But in the context of this passage, Jesus is clarifying the motive. The motive is you and God, you talking with your Father, you wanting to please Him with your life. So whether it's in private or in public, if we're saying a prayer in public and we're doing what we call leading in prayer, still, the motive is still the same. We're saying, Lord, we're looking to you for everything we need in life, everything. Take everything in your life to the Lord in prayer. And so we need you for everything. So even if we're in public, the motive is the same. The motive is not, well, everybody got to see us pray, we're wonderful people. No, it's not that. We're communicating with our Father, so the motive is we want to be pleasing to Him. But of course, in this context also, we would know each of us needs a time during the day where it's just me and Jesus. And we're undistracted, okay? We need that time where as we're spending time in His Word, we can hear His Spirit speak His Word to our heart, and that we're paying attention so that we can understand how He's guiding us in life, because we want to be pleasing to Him. Amen? Don't want to be pleasing to God. And so the motive in prayer has nothing to do with anybody else. And so in a simple sense, what are we saying this point in our series? You have a Heavenly Father. And that Heavenly Father is the almighty, one and only, awesome, incredible, majestic God. Talk to Him. There's nobody like Him. You need to spend time talking with Him. Okay? Don't worry about everything else going around. Talk to Him, because the answer that comes from God is what we need to hear. Now, in talking to God, in doing what we call prayer, You know, most of us have a prayer list, but one of the things that we're going to find as we continue to walk through this is that when you get together with your Father is not just silently sitting there listening to whatever you want to tell Him. Your Father is engaged in the relationship, and He has a list of things too. And so as we know the prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. I'm going to keep throwing those out so that as you pray, you will remember some things that are on God's list that He wants to talk to you about as your Father. His name, His kingdom, and His will. And we're going to talk about those separately. But let's just be honest. When most of us have gone to God lately with our prayer list, have those been on the prayer list? His name, His kingdom, His will. Now, a lot of times we've got it backwards. As a matter of fact, I think about it this way. If you were to choose of those three, which would you have on the list? Well, we would probably jump to His will, because most of us, we want to know what God's will is for my life. We make everything egocentric. And instead of just saying, Lord, what is Your will? But we would go there, okay? And we might go to kingdom, especially if we're thinking about what's going to happen at the end of time. You know, we want to know all these things. But when Jesus is, through His Spirit, saying, I want you to talk to the Heavenly Father, His name is probably the last thing that we would choose on that list. Why? Because usually, if we're not careful, when we go to God in prayer, the last thing we're looking to find is Him. Honestly. Well, we're looking for Him to give us what we want, but the last thing we're actually looking for is His essence. And yet when Jesus is instructing the disciples to pray, He begins with, hallowed be Thy name. Okay, and so I want to encourage you as you think about these things, to think, okay, what is God's plan for us in our discussion today? What does He have in mind? Okay? So when I say you have a Father in heaven, talk to Him, I'm not saying like we normally do, treat Him like a glorified Santa Claus with my list, here's what I want, here's what I want, here's what I want, and we go our busy way and wonder why He hadn't answered those questions yet. Okay? And so when we look back at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, pray then in this way, Our Father which art in heaven, we need to think, to begin with, to whom are we speaking? We're talking to this Almighty God who we call Father, who gave us His Son. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, to think about, to whom are we speaking? You see, because when the disciples came to Jesus, they'd been watching Jesus. They'd watch Jesus go off. You know, the Bible says He Himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray. And so they would follow along enough, and they would watch, and they would listen, and He's praying, and He would come back. And so, Lord, teach us to pray. And so when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, they were thinking about this God up there in the eternities, and how do we get connected with Him? And they had in their mind how awesome it would be if we could get connected to this eternal God, the power that would be life-changing in our life, that would be at our disposal, because they had seen Jesus perform miracles. They had seen Jesus heal people and cast out demons, and they were certainly had heard the Old Testament stories of the power of God. And so they're thinking, if we could get connected with this God, so Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to get connected with this God. And so when you put all of that together, you realize that what they were seeing in Christ was a power that was life-changing. Every person who was crippled, who was touched by Jesus and began to walk, would you call that life-changing? Every person who had been tormented by a demon, and that demon had been cast out, do you reckon that was life-changing? So they had in their mind, there's this God to whom we want to get connected, who has power, and we want to have life-changing power. One of the things you and I need to recognize is that when we pray, It's one thing to be able to say, boy, I got lots of people praying for me. Good, but don't stop there. The idea is that God's answer will bring a life-changing power because it's God, God Almighty. So when you think, okay, to whom do we pray? Because I say that, matter of fact, we're going to look at a couple of passages in the Gospel of John. John chapter 14, most of us have memorized this passage. Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's preparing them for His leaving their presence. And so in verse 13 and 14 of John 14, Jesus said to the disciples, He said, whatever you ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We can spend a whole lot of time there. In other words, if you ask in My name, it's something that has to do with My name, My kingdom, My will. I will do it so that God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. But then you notice what He says in verse 14. He says, if you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. So, to whom are we praying in that passage? We're praying to Jesus. Who's answering? Jesus is answering. But in the very next chapter, in John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus is still talking in this same discourse, and He is saying, you did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. How are we going to do that? We don't have strength on our own. No, you don't. You need an avenue to the Father so that whatever you ask of the Father, to whom are we praying? We're praying to the Father. He may give to you. Who's giving the answer? The Father. So in chapter 14, we're praying to Jesus, and Jesus is giving the answer. In chapter 15, we're praying to the Father, and He's giving the answer. Well, do we pray for some things to Jesus and other things to the Father? No. They are one and the same. That's why we begin prayers in so many different ways. We will say, dear God. We will say, dear Jesus. We will say, our Heavenly Father. We will say, Almighty Sovereign, thank You for being in control. We will say in our songs, blessed Savior, we adore Thee. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Why do we say those things? Well, which one do we pray for what? No, they are one and the same. Now, somebody will say, well, that's just too confusing to me. Let me tell you what gets confusing. Man's systematic theology. And I only put it that way because we certainly do not want to encumber a child's, and if you're listening by way of radio, I'm pointing to myself. You don't want to encumber a child's talking with his or her father. Okay? God is awesome. And in His grace, He has revealed Himself to us, and He wants to have this wonderful relationship with us. And Jesus, in answering the request, Lord, teach us to pray, saying, I want to introduce you to God as your Father, a personal relationship with Him. And it's the same when we get to the Holy Spirit, because when you study the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, you will find it doesn't always just say the word holy and the word spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of Christ. You have the Spirit of His Son, which we just saw a little while ago in Galatians. And so the Bible is not trying to divide all these up and say, well, those are different spirits. One and the same Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Son. As a matter of fact, when you open up your Bible and you get to the second verse, it mentions the Spirit of God. I mean, the first verse, you know it well, don't you? In the beginning, God. The second verse, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Well, is the Spirit of God different than God in verse 1? Nope. Spirit of God was moving. Aren't you glad the Spirit of God is still moving? We need Him to move. You go to the very last chapter of the Bible, the fifth to the last verse in the Bible, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And what do we say? Amen. Come on, Lord Jesus. The Spirit of God So when you pray, you can go into your closet and you can envision Jesus sitting down beside you and talking with you. Is he there in the flesh? No, but is he there? Yes, he's there. When you bow down, if you want to envision the Father on his throne, you can do that. Do you see that with physical eyes? No, but is he there? Yes, he's there. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He's right there. When you're praying, you can envision the Holy Spirit filling up your life. Well, which one's right? They're all right. That's why we say we believe in the Trinity. God, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, in His grace, He wants to have this relationship with us. He's revealed Himself to us in so many ways, and specifically as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, we have a Heavenly Father. Oh, let's talk with Him. He is a source of power and help and wisdom and direction like nothing else. Somebody says, well, can I actually touch heaven? Can I actually get in touch with this God, our Father, which art in heaven? Yes, you can. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. I want you to see this because, you know, the sacrificial system in the Old Testament had the tabernacle, of course, first, and then they had the temple, but within both were the Holy of Holies. And you had all of the sacrificial system. You had the Day of Atonement once a year, but you had the shedding of blood. You had the preparation that pointed toward Christ. In without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So as we get to the book of Hebrews, and it's talking about Jesus offering himself to God, it says when Jesus died on the cross, and earlier in this chapter it talks about he offered himself through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit in Christ is offering himself to God, he was not in an earthly Holy of Holies. As this verse says, Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one. But Jesus went into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God the Father for me. Whew. Ain't that good news? God is so good. He went there. Say, but yeah, but he went there. I can't go. Yes, you can. Look at chapter 10, the next chapter. Verse 19 and 20, it says, we have confidence to enter the holy place. Now, you realize when the book of Hebrews was written, and I know there's debate about whether Paul wrote it or not, but since we don't have a nice, good, close option of second, we're going to say Paul wrote it. But when Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, he wasn't saying, man, we've been bebopping in and out the Holy of Holies at the temple. No. He's already set the fact that Jesus went into the true Holy of Holies, and he says, we have confidence to enter the holy place. How in the world could that happen? By the blood of Jesus Christ. So this new and living way opened up through the veil, physically ripped from top to bottom, opening up the physical place, but giving us the understanding that we actually can go into the holy place. And so how incredible it is that when you pray, in a spiritual sense, you by all means leave this earth and enter the holy place, something that would be inconceivable to anybody in the Old Testament that would have ever happened. We're the most privileged people in the world, and we run around living like we have no access. What unspeakable grace, privilege, and access we have in Jesus Christ. By all means, when you think about Isaiah, God said through Isaiah in Isaiah 66:1, the Lord said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me. In other words, no earthly building is sufficient for God. Not even the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem. Not the sanctuary at First Baptist Clanton. Listen, but we're sons and we're daughters. We have a Father. We can talk to Him. Isn't that good news? So listen, no earthly sanctuary. There's none. No place on earth where God resides more than somewhere else. I will qualify that. You understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about brick and mortar kind of places. Now, within people, which we'll talk about more in a moment, God resides in some and God is not in some others. Okay? But to be clear, let's just be honest. There are some people in their minds, they think that God's presence is found more in the geographical nation of Israel. There are some people who think that God's presence is found more in a sanctuary building than He is in a barn. But let's just be clear to communicate this. Wherever the Lord is, He is 100% of Himself. So, let's go back and look at a verse, and I want to couple it with another one. Galatians 4, 6, we looked at it earlier. I want to put it together with 1 Corinthians 6, 19. But Galatians 4, 6, the B part of that verse says, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son, where? Into our hearts. Okay, let's ask the question now. Okay, so the Spirit of Jesus is in my heart. Is that 10% of Jesus? 20% of Jesus? 100% of Jesus. Now, not all that He is fits in our life, you know what I'm saying, in that sense, but He is Himself within us. Okay? And so He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Isn't it interesting, in that one little part of a verse, you have God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all right there. And so you and I recognize that through the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our hearts, we cry out to God, Abba, Father. And we know the verse well in 1 Corinthians, your body is a temple. So, this earthly body plus the indwelling of the Spirit of Jesus Christ has as much God as any place on earth. See, what happens is we get tied up in all of this other stuff that ain't God. See, we need to realize that God is everywhere, but He's not in everything. He's omnipresent. But you know, you get these folks, well, He's in the trees and He's in the clouds and He's in the dirt. No. Those are things He created. Okay? But our Father has given us full access to the throne of grace. We touch heaven because basically He brought heaven to us. So listen, it doesn't matter where you go, you can't get away from Him. What did David say in Psalm 139, 7 and 8? Psalm 139, 7 and 8. Where can I go from Thy presence? Where can I flee from Thy Spirit? If I ascend to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, Thou art there. Verse 9 and 10, if I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Thy hand will lead me. It's like, oh my goodness, He's everywhere. But what about when I get myself in a mess and life just consumes me? Look at Lamentations 3, 55, 57. I call on Your name, O Lord, out of the lowest pit. You drew near when I called on You. You said, do not fear. Listen, no matter what you are going through, no matter where you are spiritually, He is there. You know, I tell people all the time, they're going through a problem, and y'all have heard me say this, I'm not a miracle worker, but I know the One who is. And let me say that again. I really am not a miracle worker, but I know one who is. But I'll say, come see me. We can pray. And if I make a mistake, I will say what a lot of people have said, and I will say, hey, we can at least pray. At least pray? What? At least pray? Like that's the least thing. We can pray. You have a Heavenly Father. Talk to Him. He said, if you do, you'll get an answer. And it's the answer that changes life. And the folk, yeah, but Matt, you don't really have any idea where I am. And I may not. But you know, nobody knew where Jonah was either. Nobody had any clue that Jonah was still alive and he was in the belly of a whale, but God knew. And Jonah said, I was fainting away. And I remembered the Lord, Jehovah. And I called out to Him. And let me just tell you what. It had been maybe an emotional moment if Jonah had known that 1,000 people were praying for him. But let me tell you what, it was God's answer that made that fish spit him up. And that fish was not 100, 200 feet down when he spit him out. When God delivers you, He does a good job of it. The Bible says the big fish spit Jonah out on dry ground. Ain't God good? I'd imagine he'd been through enough, he needed to be breathing. I may not know where you are. People right around you may not know where you are, but God knows exactly where you are. Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need Him most. Thank you, Lord, because we need Him a lot, don't we? He's right here. And how humbling of Himself that He would choose to come and live on the inside of me, on the inside of you. And Jesus, in answering this request, teach us to pray, all right? Don't do it like a lot of people are doing it. Go get in your closet. You've got a Father. Talk to Him. And His answer will change life. And Jesus is knowing this, not because He's hoping it. Jesus is knowing it because He's been there. He was there from the beginning. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So He knows exactly what's going on. And so when Jesus later told the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. He's saying, when you talk to the Heavenly Father, you are touching the place where you're going to live forever. Okay? And so, you and I get so busy playing house on earth. You know, the older we get, we think about retirement. You know, how am I going to prepare for retirement and get it all ready? And then God's saying, you're not retiring on earth. Let us labor, therefore, to enter that rest. And it's like, oh, that looks like a much better nursing home than the ones we go into, amen. That's going to be good. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to close. But when I say that, don't turn your mind off yet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, last part of verse 9 and verse 10. Paul's talking to the Thessalonians about how they turned to God from idols. Now, we know an idol in their day and time may have been some kind of carved image much of the time, whether that had been wood or stone or something else. But you turn to God from idols to serve, and notice the way it's written in Scripture, a living and true God. The idols were not real gods. They were just earthly materials, okay? You turn to God to serve this living and true God and to wait for His Son from where? Heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. Wait for His Son from heaven whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. And so we put all of that together as we are thinking about the life that we're living and praying. Most of the time we have such a huge manner dishonored God. We use prayer either to get people to think something about us or to get God to do something for us in our little earthly kingdom. When the Scripture is saying, listen, God who lives in eternity is your Father. Father, meaning you're going to go back home one day, okay? As a matter of fact, I'm going to prepare that place. I'm going to come get you. I'm going to take you to that home. And so this passage is saying that you are serving this living God while you're on earth, and you're waiting for the Son to come and get you because He's going to bring you there. He has risen from the dead, conquered death and sin, and delivering us from the wrath to come. You may be like Jonah today, and you may need God to have whatever has you engulfed spit you out. He can do that in a place where then you can breathe and live. Are we, though, using prayer to talk to our Father about what's on His list, waiting for Jesus to come get us because we want to go home? Or are we using prayer to talk to God up there yonder somewhere to fix everything on earth the way we want it fixed up so that we can enjoy our life here on earth? Now, am I saying we're supposed to be miserable here? No. But I'm going to tell you what. The Bible says through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible is reminding us indeed we will be talking about His name that is holy, His kingdom, and His will, not ours. And we have so much of the time made prayer exactly the opposite of what God intended. We want to talk about our name, what has to do with us. We want to talk about our little kingdom, what has to do with us. We want to talk about our will, what we've got in mind. And God's saying, I have some other things that I really want to talk with you about. And so as Jesus is teaching us about prayer, we've got to get started right. And that is, number one, not using it for the wrong reason. But I've got a Father. I need to talk with Him. I need to hear what He has to say, what's on His list, not just what's on mine. So where are you today? I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment. When we sing a song in a moment, it is a prayer. There's no use in singing it if you don't mean it, because the Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. And as you listen to the words of that song, if you can sincerely do so, make them your prayer, okay? So that the relationship that we're having with God is the one that He designed and not something that we're trying to manipulate. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your patience in our life. I thank you for your excitement to reveal yourself to us in so many different ways. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage each of our hearts to indeed set aside all things in our life that we might focus upon you undistracted. And Lord, so that you might be able to pierce through the facade, to pierce through the things that have us bound. And Lord, that we might just freely enjoy a relationship with you. Thank you so much for your kindness that you would do this for us. Lord, give us indeed the wisdom to learn your teaching about prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.